Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Autastic, the Comedian's Guide to Autism. I am Graham Kay.
That's true, and I'm Kirk Smith.
That's right, and we are two comedians, and
that's true.
We both have autistic family members. I have an autistic brother, he has an autistic son, and together we try and talk about autism in a non-depressing way.
This is not science, and this is just our point of view.
Absolutely not science. You'll learn that very quickly. We also have a very special guest today. Yeah, we have Jake. Do you want to give yourself a little intro?
Hi, hello.
Yes.
Good day.
Jake, you're an extremely funny comedian. You also have an autistic sibling, right?
My older brother.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jake Baker, what is your just for the people out there? What's your Twitter handle?
At Jake Baker Comic.
There he is. Yes, yeah, just nice. So you know, mine's Graham K Comic.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You have to add that. Part.
I know, isn't it?
It's official.
It's just
otherwise
annoying, and you're just like, oh man.
Well, I mean, when you have a generic name, it's almost mandatory.
They're all taken.
Yeah. I'm surprised I was even the first one to come up with that.
Yeah,
there's probably
some 13-year-old.
Three other Jake Bakers trying to do comedy right now. I'm sure.
LA.
I'm sure of it. Yeah, just in LA.
And one guy who works at a bakery, Jake Baker Baker.
And that dude's way funnier than all of us. That's heartbreaking. That's the way the world works.
So you have an older brother who's autistic.
Yeah.
And do you have any other siblings?
I have plenty of sisters too. I have three sisters.
Plenty. Well, I like that.
Plenty.
Plenty go around.
That's when it seems overwhelming.
Sister and two backups.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So the family name is up to you, basically, to carry on.
I've thought about it in that capacity, kind of. But
which is archaic way to think about it, but still kind of real.
That's still disappointing to my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably over anyway, so.
Well, you're married. You're halfway there.
I don't want to bring the government in place.
Yeah, okay.
Or into it.
Sure.
I don't want to fill out paperwork, and I definitely don't want to see a judge.
There you go.
For all intents and purposes, we've been together for 10 years.
I get it.
Yeah.
You, Kirk, speaking of...
old people.
Of old people. of marriage. Do you want to talk about it? Is this cool?
Yeah, my week in review. For our longtime listeners, you know we do a week in review in the first segment. Mm-hmm. And this week, my daughter, who's 19... decided to get married against my advice and all my family's advice and her mom's advice. And so, that was yesterday at Griffith Park, beautiful Griffith Park here in Los Angeles. So,
congratulations.
Kids do what they want to do.
No, definitely not congratulations. Yeah, somebody said that and I had to,
congrats.
We had a long talk about, they could, anything can happen. You could win the lottery, but that's, for people that don't understand
Everything's
math.
Everything's going to be fine, Kirk.
Everything is gonna be fine.
It's a lot of it's a lot of. Do you think that it has anything to do with her growing having one other sibling that's autistic?
No, I do think not necessarily. I don't. But I was telling you this off air. I do think that you as a parent, you put a lot of pressure on that one kid because that's kind of. I've got two, and at this rate, my son's not even close to dating, so he's probably not gonna be getting married. So. You have a lot of hopes, even if you don't realize it.
Right.
A lot of hopes and dreams in that one kid to really,
right.
You know, not the family name because it's my daughter, but still, it's your legacy. You might want to have grandkids or whatever.
Right. I feel for you and I feel for her.
It's tough day.
You didn't do anything wrong, and it's just natural pressure. You know what I mean? It's like I feel what she feels. You know, but I express it in a different way where I'm not.
You're a little funnier, less married.
I'm 35 and still unhitched, so I've done something else. I've taken that pressure and pushed it way down, and she just faced it head on. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I love her very much, and I wish her the best.
She's older though, right?
She's the older one. She's 19.
That, I mean, he's 17. Happens with the oldest sibling. They have like this. uber responsible approach to life, you know, right, like compared to the rest of them, you know, where they're like the trailblazer kind of,
right?
So they like do everything right, and then everybody else is. Everybody knows about that. The first kid is always the responsible one, and then the last kid who's still in the house when the parents are old and they don't want to try anymore.
Yeah,
and be like, he gets away with all the stuff that I never got away
with. That's true. That was like that in our family. That's true.
But it has a lot to do with the responsibility of that first kid, because you put so much, exactly what you're saying, into that first kid.
Yeah.
That, you know, like you want to not mess it up. By the time you get to the sixth kid, you're like, you can't mess these things up.
Well, it's
no matter what you do, you know, the attitude's completely different.
That's true. Like when you have a kid with a pacifier, like your first kid, he drops the pacifier, you literally boil the pacifier.
Yeah.
And by the third kid, you literally wipe it off on your shirt and like, that's fine. Stick it back in his mouth.
Yeah. It's like, fine.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. He's building antibodies.
These things are indestructible.
I'm making him strong.
So now when we look at it from that perspective, though, she's been like, now she's 19 and responsible enough to be married. I'm 40 and I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah,
not ready.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
You'll tie me down, man.
And I was the fourth kid, point. So I think that might.
Grandma's saying something like that. That basically, like, you've invested a lot of time in her and energy. You can't discount all the time. She, you know, some of that's gotten through somewhere. So yeah, she had to absorb some of that. So
there is a study, and it's not obviously 100% for every kid. It's not the same. But that the first kid is usually a little more intelligent, and it's not for any genetic reason. It's because through the early years, the parents are like hovering over their kid and talking to them more.
To the kid, and
by the fifth kid, they're just wear a life jacket. Come back at 5.
Or when you're ready.
Totally true.
Yeah.
And maybe part of having that, being the older sister, though, also played a part, though, you know, because, you know, you have to, anybody with a sibling who has autism, I think, you know, sometimes as growing up, you start to see people as like in their real light than compared to how they want to act, you know.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, there's always the people who, for the most part, everybody's really cool about it. You know, I'm saying that growing up.
Oh, about autistic. School, okay,
having an autistic brother. But there's always a few people.
Oh, yeah.
Who say. Say stuff, I'm sorry, behind closed doors.
That's going to be cut out.
Yeah. And, who say stuff behind closed doors. And what's weird is most of the time that only comes out because it's leaked out. Somebody says it in a conversation. And then you find out who people's real. And I think.
Oh, I have people tell me stuff like all the time.
As a kid, whenever you start to see that that's how people really are, you know, I think you start to become a little wiser to the world. You know,
that's
instead
true.
Of like, you know, you can say, oh, well, you know, this, it's like this, and be careful about this and that. Be like, all right, I've already kind of seen how things are.
Yeah.
You know, I think you see that a little bit more, having an autistic sibling.
Yeah,
that's probably true.
I think that's true.
Because kids are cruel.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so you're constantly on the defense of them. You're looking out for them.
Yep.
You have this parental idea about it in a weird way. Like,
she grew up with a parental.
Oh, yeah. She was like in middle school she ran this big campaign. Trying to ban the R word, like when we were kids, in my 40s, you could say retarded. Nobody says that anymore. And so, she did a big campaign and push. And so that was a, she's in it. I'm just concerned where she's still a child. I don't want her to, you know, I want her to go to school, go to school. Don't have kids yet. Just, there's no rush.
It'll be fine. That's what she's going to do, man. It'll be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's awesome, though. Imagine the things you could do when you're 19.
Yeah.
You just do whatever you want.
You're invincible.
Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
You can finally do whatever you want.
You're invincible. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Best case scenario. That's
pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how fun. I mean,
it's
true.
Worst case scenario, she'll have a good chapter in her book.
Yeah, or you know, two kids, no job, and single. But yeah, that's what he said. He said worst case scenario.
Yeah, no, she won't. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
it'll
it's gonna be fine.
It's gonna be fine. Trust me.
It's gonna be good. It's gonna be
She's
good.
Just trying to make something. You know, just trying to hold on to something, and it'll be fine. You know, whether if it works out or it doesn't, but it may or may not have anything to do with having an autistic sibling. It, you know, it really doesn't matter. Life just happens.
Yeah.
You know. So, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, it's autistic or not, autistic kid or not. It's like, it's hard to get your head around as a parent. You parent Jake yet? No? Mm. It's hard to get your head around, like, they're their own people. Like, it looks like you a little bit, but it's 100% their own, they have their own opinion. Yeah.
Right.
And you can keep telling them what they're supposed to do.
Won't you listen to
me?
Yeah,
they won't listen. Yeah. They have their own, like, their
That's what
own
my mom
thing.
Said. My mom said, she didn't want to have kids. And then my dad was like, we're going to have kids. And she's like, ugh, all right. And then she loved having kids. And like when, like genetically something took over her when she was,
she enjoyed it, yeah.
When she had, when the doctor handed her the baby, she was like, something clicked. She was like, oh, you know, this is great. I'm going to have somebody that'll be like me and I can raise them. And then she was like, and it's really annoying when they become 14 and you realize they will never be like you.
Yeah.
You're like, this is a completely different person.
This isn't what I was trying to build.
But then, you know, everything comes around in you. Everything's great. But
there is always that full circle moment, always in life.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I guess I would be one of the crazier siblings in my family when it came down to that age. Like, what, especially when I was 19, I just like left for California and left Missouri, you know.
Yeah.
Even though I was from here.
Yeah.
I just picked up and left. My parents are like, you can't do that. I'm like, yeah, you can. You can just leave and go wherever you want. No one can stop you. So I understand that, like, trying to start your life, the idea of that at that age, especially if you feel confined in any way. I don't know. But I'm not trying to make excuses for getting married at 19.
No, no. I think part of it is, too, I think, how do you rebel against a comedian father who's a little bit whatever? You go the other direction. You get super rigid and let's get married at 19 and not not do anything.
Totally true.
It's there are like, so many other people to bang.
Yeah.
You can edit that. I'm sorry.
It's just my daughter. But anyway,
It's like it's just my daughter.
I'm talking about people in general.
Good. Thank you.
That young.
It's like what, Family Ties?
Yeah.
The Michael Keaton, or what is it?
Yeah, Michael Keaton, yeah.
Yeah, he just goes the op. They're like super liberal. Yeah. You know, hippie parents, and then they have this like young Republican kid. It's such a great character.
Michael J. Fox,
It's like Family Ties.
Yeah. It's just like Family Ties, just the opposite.
Hey, you want to go to do another, you can come with me to this comedy festival in Australia next year. No, I think I want to get married at 19 and neither of us have jobs. Or that, you could do that, I guess, if you wanted to.
You can do that. Go to a music festival for 6 months on honeymoon.
Hey, look, you...
That sounds fun.
You would be described... Would you self-describe yourself as a hippie?
Kinda. I tried to argue against it once, but Dave Waite was able to list them. I do fall into the label of hippie, apparently. He's like...
Dave Waite, my former roommate.
He's made a podcast at his house, and he's like, bro, you're not even wearing shoes. I was like, okay.
It's fine. Labels are labels. It's fine. But it is a shorthand for, you know, for certain tropes, which is fine. Yeah. But anyway, what was that? What was my point? You're married, but from what I garnered from what you said earlier, you didn't go the traditional government route of being married.
No.
But you consider yourself married.
Kind of. I mean, to that extent.
Right.
Yeah. It's like.
But my point being, is it's just a piece of paper, at this point.
Yeah.
You know, your daughter getting.
And
married.
You know, let me put it like this. Actually, you know, Polly, who I'm with and have been with for 10 years, she got married really young.
Mm-hmm.
How'd that go?
Right out of college, because she thought that's what you do. You go to college and then you get married. And then she was married for a few years and it just didn't work out. And, you know, like both of them were able to move forward. It wasn't that big of a deal. They actually worked together again though Polly works from home, he works from home, but they work in the same business. So they work with each other again. And it's a non-issue.
I'm just trying to avoid her pain. I mean, I'm not.
I know. 100%.
I'm not saying it's in the world to get a divorce. I'm just saying.
Feelings are still hurt.
Why would you want to? And the other thing is.
We don't have kids. And we're just trying to
make excuses. And thanks, stuff is thanks, what it guys. Sounds like.
No, but the other thing is, I don't think you realize like how painful it is to, like, not to turn this a boo-hoo, poor me, but you invest, whatever, $300,000 into 20 years of your life, and then they're like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm like, no, I'm trying to help you out. I don't have any vested interest. I'm not trying to... No, you don't know what you're talking about. All right. I'm literally trying to help you. So then to get that from your own blood, you're like, oh my God, this is a painful thing.
The good news is,
man. My son will never do that to me.
Hey,
I think that's the pain of so many dads.
Yeah.
You know, like you put in all the work and then come to find out and be like, whatever, dad.
Yeah, I'm not trying to ride her coattails like, hey, go and be a Hollywood, whatever. And all. No, just I'm just trying to help you avoid some pain. That's all I'm trying to do. Mm,
right.
That's all I'm trying to do. You know, anyway, I don't want to turn this into I'm just crapping on her. But
No, I
love her to death. I just, you know, I bought her a car. You got to learn how to drive the car. I don't want to learn, you know. So it's been a year, car sat there for a year. Like, listen, I got the car.
Hey, I drove it.
Yeah, Graham drove for a month.
I drove for a month. It worked out great for me.
The car's just there for you. I don't get any vested interest out of you driving the car. The car's just for you. It's a tool. But if you don't use it, it's that simple.
Like, she'll do it. Trust me. Look.
Anyway.
Believe me. You guys will only get closer.
This is
80% of children and parents don't get along until they're 21.
Yeah.
From like 13 to 21. She's gonna get older and have some perspective, and you're gonna calm down a bit and, you know, be less
careless.
There's gonna be more of a buffer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And you're gonna realize that she's eating and she's put shelter over her head.
I'm just worried about her. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
And then you guys are gonna become friends. It's gonna happen. It just happens.
Man, well, life always works out perfectly no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Despite yourself.
Yeah.
Like whenever you're able to look back, you'll be like, it worked out exactly the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
That's true.
That was my week in review.
Yeah, that's a good week in review.
You guys top that?
I can't. That's one heck of a week.
I can't. That's a
brutal
big week.
Brutal week. Yeah.
It'll be fine.
So
I can't beat that. I went to a Ween concert. That's all. I had date night. It was great.
Wings?
Ween? W-E-E-N.
Oh, I was like, wings is back together?
Ween.
Yeah. Oh, your Midwest accent.
Fabulous.
Sound like wings.
Oh, did
I? I was like, I don't think they can do that.
That's
anymore.
What I thought. Yeah. I thought they were done.
Paul McCartney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think he's still grandpa rocking somewhere.
He is.
Yeah,
he's making some money.
Do you remember he came? He was like on the Grammys, and no millennial knew who he was.
Yeah,
like this guy's got some talent. He could make it.
That's true. Athletes are always like, "Who's that?"
Yeah.
And you respect this guy? He's 21 years old. Doesn't know who Paul McCartney is.
Yeah. But anyway.
My daughter met him once in New York City.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. My friend of ours called. And was like, hey, she's keeping an eye on my daughter. And she was like, hey, talk to your daughter. Tell her, and I hear her in the background, tell your dad who you met. I met this guy with a dog. The dog's really nice. Tell him about who's the dog's owner. He's in a band, but they don't play anymore. I don't remember the name. It was Paul McCartney.
How old was she?
7.
Oh,
yeah, that's not. You're living in New York, yeah.
That's not her. I was like,
she was so excited about the dog.
I wonder. I bet Paul has to get a kick out of that, though. Like,
yeah.
I mean, at some point, and be like, I've come to the point in life where people don't know who I am.
Right.
That feels good.
Probably. You
know, interesting. Like, yeah.
Probably. Because he's at the level of fame where it's like, yeah.
He can just go to like, I don't know, a Fetty Wap concert. Just to be, that's the only place in the world where he could just be alone.
Yeah, not be recognized and nobody would know.
He comes to the improv sometimes.
Yeah, a couple
times this year, I think.
Avery Pearson, a couple guys have pictures of him like
hanging out at the improv, yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got Avery Pearson on his Facebook page has a really, really funny picture on his banner, what picture? Of Paul McCartney at the urinal. Paul McCartney knows. No, sorry, it's the opposite. Avery's at the urinal and Paul McCartney's head is above the stall.
What? No,
like peeking over, like jokingly looking at, like, that's
wow.
Pretty awesome.
Those two. Like wet towels.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I've never heard that either.
Yeah.
They're always hanging out. They cling together.
Man, he is from Missouri.
Yeah. Yes. Missouri. Like wet towels. What?
Like two peas in a pod over there, those two.
I got that from my current neighborhood, so it's actually not.
Those two are thick as thieves.
I never even knew, really. Thieves are usually the first to turn on one another.
Yeah, it's
a good point.
It's a very good point.
Yeah.
Well, I think at this point we should introduce.
We forgot to say why he was on the. Oh, did you say you have a sibling with autism?
I did. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I did a great job introing it. It's almost like I'm a professional.
He's on it.
Yeah.
Great job, Graham.
Jake Baker, very funny comic. Your older brother is high functioning. Now, what are your sort of a very broad question? Like, what are your experiences with that? Older brother, mine is younger.
Yeah.
So
my older brother is, let's see, he's 6 years older than I am, mm-hmm. and like there was a bunch of kids in my house, so like we had to share a room a lot of the time growing uh-huh. up. So I like shared a room. When you share a room with somebody, you get to know them inside out.
Yeah,
that's no question.
Absolutely.
But with Charles, I know that he's like, I mean. Like, everybody else has this weird facade they put on, and he just doesn't,
yeah.
which is, I really love, you know? But he's so naturally gentle compared to, like, a normal human being who has
right.
aggressions or opinions or, you know, this or that. He's never like that, you know?
Right.
So, huh. like, I constantly find myself feeling like I'm too aggressive or negative around him, you know? Like,
uh-huh.
so it's a, when I have him around me, it's a nice barometer for me all the time. Like, I feel like I'm learning from him. Be like, all right, I need to take that more, that approach more than like,
awesome.
Like even when I'm driving, you know, like, and I'm like, ah, oh, this person, whatever.
Yeah.
He just doesn't really have that reaction. And so it's like, it's nice, like a nice reminder for me, like, oh my God, why am I like this?
Yeah, totally.
Or even like, I don't have to be like this. Yeah,
I don't need to be like that.
I can choose to be different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just programming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that gentleness, you know? What's another funny thing about Charles is you're talking about, like, sometimes I can't, you know, control my mouth. I'm kind of filthy on stage.
Yeah.
So when Charles has, like, been at my shows, like, he loves the sound of, like, censors and bleeps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he loves that. So, like, he does it while I'm on stage. And nothing is a bigger reminder about how filthy your mouth is than when someone's in the back of the room being like, oop, beep, oop. You know, like, reminding you, like, oh, man.
I bet, like, you would get to laugh.
Oh, every time, you know, and that's the great thing about it. It's like, you know, like, how many times do I get bleeped per show? Man, I need to take it down a notch.
It's like a two-man act.
Right. It's so funny, though. I love that.
The bleep noise is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
When you think
and
about
it. And usually, you know, when he comes to LA, because my grandparents lived here and I was born here, so I give him... Because he's great with maps and schedules and dates, you know?
Right.
So, like, I just give him carte blanche.
My brother,
to pick
too.
What he wants, you know? And, like, it's nice to know, like, that he can produce the schedule. And then whenever we just go, like, what it turns out to be, you know what I mean? I mean, like, the last 4 days have been really
Oh, he'll
awesome.
Make the schedule.
Productive.
He'll,
like,
yeah,
go
I'll
here
let him
pick whatever he wants, yeah.
Cool.
And so it's fun, you know? I let him pick music. I empower him a lot, like, in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have Spotify, so he loves Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yeah. That's his band.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
We go bowling. We go, and like Charles is, he doesn't take it easy on anybody. He's like good at bowling, you know? So he crushes it. His bowling game is on fire, man. Mm-hmm. On point.
Does he go alone? Like
he's in bowling leagues.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Works at a sheltered workshop, and he has since he was 18.
What does a sheltered workshop mean?
It's like a, it's like these like factories that they have where people who receive Social Security monthly can go and work, but they don't make over a certain amount, so it doesn't affect their Social Security income.
Uh huh.
You know, so Ooh. Like a lot of places like Target use it, you know, like because it's cheap labor, mm-hmm. you know, but at the same time, it's still made in America. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good program. I see the pros and cons of it, kind of, but right. like, he's worked there for so long that, you know, he's knows his way inside every line and
mm-hmm.
knows how everything operates, knows all the people. And
he likes
He's
it.
Worked there since he was 18. So, and what he's like, you know,
46
now.
30 so. Years. Wow.
Yeah. A long time.
20
That's why
years
I was like asking him how much vacation he got. He told me 10 days. I was like, I gasped. You know what I mean? Because I have like 200 days of vacation. I don't do anything. You
yeah.
know, like.
You're a lazy young brother.
It took me aback like yeah. 10 days. That yeah. is not enough.
Yeah.
For somebody who's been working there for 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, so. But at the same time, he likes his job. So, you know, I'm always like, why don't you retire? You know, he's like,
I know.
You have to wait till you're 65. Like, right. says who? You know,
but
I
he,
always try to talk him into it, but it's like, no, he likes his job.
He needs it.
He likes it.
Think yeah. Do you think he likes the structure too?
Yeah, I definitely think he enjoys the structure. And, you know, like they have the other activities too, like dances and bowling leagues, and bowling league he crushes.
Set up with through it. The yeah. like, oh, that's that sounds
and,
like.
You know, another thing Charles likes is like he follows sports pretty well, you know, so he'll know like he knows I'm obsessed with NBA basketball, so he'll always talk basketball with me. And right. I'm always surprised by how much he knows, you know,
mm-hmm.
so I know he follows it. And he loves baseball because my grandpa followed baseball a lot. So we went to a Dodgers game. Saw a grand slam while we were there.
Wow.
Grand salami.
Grand slam. It was pretty incredible
That's
stuff.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, was he pumped?
He was pumped. Yeah. I was like, because he was like, bases loaded. And he was just hoping they would score. I'm like, I expect nothing less than a grand slam. And it happened. So it was great. So I always love having Charles around. And I mean, especially, I'm glad that you guys gave me a kind of a forum to even talk about it because, you know,
yeah.
rarely do you get a chance to brag about your brother.
Yeah.
And that's what it really comes down
that's
to.
What this
that's
is
what it feels like.
Great. Me, great. You know? That's what this is about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like there are a lot of positives no one talks about. Mm-hmm. What I really like, I want to ask you about is what ages did you room with him when you were growing up, and do you think that affected your personality?
Yeah, I mean, I had to room with him because, like, yeah, there was always kids, and my parents moved around a lot, so like, we always ended up sharing rooms.
You have any?
And so it was my whole life. I shared a room with Charles until I moved out when I was 17.
Cool, and that you think that made you a better person? Like, it affected your personality, and
yeah, because like, I mean,
made you calmer, like you said before.
Yeah, you know, and I learned a lot, like, on how to deal with things. Because as a kid, you deal with things like a kid, you know, but you learn it from your parents. Hmm. But as you get older, you start like, I never really emulated my dad. I actually emulated my brother.
Wow,
you know what I mean, in a weird way.
Huh. Awesome.
Yeah, so because he's so much more gentle, you know, he's nicer, and so like, there's a nicer approach to take to life.
That's amazing.
And it's sweet.
Do you have like any so your brother's 8 years older than you. It's like, what was the first recollection of you remembering, like, okay, my family's a little bit different, or how does that work? 6 years. Sorry about that.
No, yeah, like my first recollection.
Yeah, yeah. Or like when you start to realize, like, okay, my family's a little different, or any stories like about that, or any.
Yeah, I mean, because like, I guess like, you know, with. That's the thing is, like, I always heard like the stuff like from other people. It was like, oh, about Charles, and like, I shared a room with him, so I never really saw that, and people would try to explain that stuff to me. But it was like, all right, I know that that's what you think about him.
Right, right, right.
But what you're projecting your thoughts onto him on what you think he should be. Because,
right.
like, I find that whenever I give him a decision, you know, even though he might be indecisive, he has something in mind most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, and when I find out what that is, then we do it, you know?
It's like he's and his like, own person.
Always. Always been his own person.
Back to that, yeah.
It's like, people forget, they're like, you know, they start, they put you in this category, and then they want you to act like this thing. And sometimes Charles's role over the years has changed because he's a man now.
Yeah, he's not
you
a
know,
little kid.
He's seen, you know, my grandparents, he was here when they were here, and he's been here when they're gone, you know, like, so he's seen all of these things go. And like, I mean, just like anybody, you know, I was at the funeral, I've seen the reactions, you know, like, I don't ever remember a time like where I was always like, where people, I mean, when I was young, where people would tell me, oh, he's different. But like, I don't ever remember in my life being like thinking or believing them. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. Well, you didn't
like,
see
I
the
get
difference.
I what you're trying to say, but I know who this
but
guy
is. But you're wrong.
Know? I know this guy, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, right.
Don't well, you would tell think
me he's also is. Lucky to have a good brother, though.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And I feel the other way. I'm lucky to have a really good brother.
Yeah,
you know, I really am.
Totally like, get it.
Yeah, there's, I mean, everybody's got, you know. Yeah, everybody's got their own.
Yeah, not everybody. Graham was talking about this last week, that not everybody's got a brother who loves them, is interested, will take time to reach out and talk. And yeah, some people are.
And has never had a problem, always gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Lucky. We are lucky. Yeah. I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much for coming by. It's great. Great to have you, man.
Find Jake Baker at Jake Baker Comedy. Do you have a website or anything? Anything you want to plug?
Jake Baker Comic. Yeah, I haven't really been doing much lately, but I'll get back on board, guys.
Yeah.
You can check it out. You know, like, especially during election years, I just kind of drop out. I don't want to even interact with people.
Yeah.
It's so terrible out there.
I hear you.
You know.
I hear you, man.
But it's good to be on this podcast and show my face and hear my voice.
We're happy.
People happy. Don't know this, but we had to find him. He was in a log cabin. We had to send in people to come get him.
Yeah. Like redoing every Bob Ross painting.
Six people in the Midwest got that joke.
I got it. I'm from Canada and I got it. That's at Kirk Smith Comedy. I'm at Graham K Comedy. Three of us, our name's at Comedy. We came late to Twitter, everybody.
Hey guys.
And also please you guys are the best who donate, and if you can afford to donate, please donate at patreon.com/autastic. patreon.com/autastic. You can donate a buck an episode. That's less than a cup of joe, guys. But if it's not something that's in the budge, we totally get it. You guys are the best.
One more quick thing, guys. A reminder, please send us your letters. We've gotten a few letters this week. Next week, we're doing your letters and emails and messages on Facebook. So please take a second to messages on Autastic Podcast on Facebook, autasticpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send the messages direct to Graham and myself, and we'll be reading those on air and answering those next week.
Is that everything?
That's everything.
Man. Yeah. Tell your friends about our podcast. We appreciate all the shares that happen and have happening. I'm having fun.
Thanks so much, guys. We love you. You can do it.